Born Funny friends, welcome to another round of Born Funny.
Yeah, absolutely love this episode. Italian batch.
Isaac. Isaac, same last name as you, Smith.
Oh, they say Isaac. It's not my last name.
Your last name, not Isaac.
Isaac, same last name as you. Then you went Smith.
I've been calling you Jimmy.
You English wrong.
I've been calling you Jimmy Isaac for a long time.
Jimmy Isaac Newton.
Just quickly, do you say Isaac or Isaac?
Isaac.
Because I think a lot of people say Isaac, and I don't like it.
I think in this interview, you may hear Nath say Isaac.
Do I? Yeah, and I don't like it.
Why'd you say
that? Because I went to school with an Isaac, right?
And I think they're all the same, mate. It's just people saying them differently.
Some people say Isaac.
Yeah.
I think it's an American thing. Don't like it.
I think you said it.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good. Edit that out.
I think it's too late.
You use a few of these audio bands. Isaac, Isaac, Isaac. Now place them in.
Isaac.
What?
I suck.
Yeah, who?
Don't be bad.
No, we love this guy. Live from the UK. He's a superstar over there.
We didn't talk about it with him in the interview. You might have to keep an eye on the socials at Jimmy and Nath. Jimmy and Nath show. Pretty confident that was his bedroom he was doing the chat from.
It looked very,
did you notice it?
It looked very bedroomy.
He turned all the lights off, but I was constantly looking in the background trying to figure out where it was.
That's all I was doing.
And I think
I was like, what kind of bed you got?
Well, I couldn't really tell if it was a bed, but I'm pretty sure there were two bedside tables on either side.
It was absolutely his bedroom. Because I think he still lives at home.
Yeah, well, he never said that, but he kind of implied it, didn't he?
I mean,
I don't want
to oust him.
But he was like, you know, I can't invite creators over when my parents are home.
Yeah, because he's only young.
Yeah, we didn't oust
him. Very insightful for a young, talented comedy man.
Are you saying other people have it?
Well, I mean, you be the judge.
I really wanted to ask him if it was his bed, and I really wanted to ask him if that's where he does his best work.
Oh, that would have been good.
Yeah.
Does he have OnlyFans? Because he's a good-looking rooster. We didn't ask him that.
I didn't know him personally. Mm. I've seen videos of his, and I think you can hear this chat. It's very insightful. He's very well-spoken, very smart, very articulate.
Yeah. Enjoy. Isaac Smith, same last name as Jimmy.
Italian badge.
Funny people. An odd bunch, really. Not your usual folk. They've been making us knee slaps since the ancient Greeks. But what makes these real-life jesters tick? Perhaps today, we should ask this person.
Isaac or Italian Batch?
We don't know which one either. I don't know.
Tell me, were you born funny?
I think I was born funny. For no real reason, I don't think it developed. I think it just happened, you know. I think I was born funny.
An Italian batch, do you think? No.
Nathan, did you get the round of applause ready for a UK-based comedy creator known for his hilarious skits and quick humour? He has built an impressive following of over 2.5 million fans from all around the world on his social media accounts. Unfortunately, he has been lying to us. He is only 1/4 Italian, and he's only using this popularity to get back to his real passion, which is putting on more muscle bulk and becoming a fitness influencer. Please welcome to the show the bloody hilarious Isaac Smith, a.k.a. Italian Bat!
Hey, bud.
How did you find out all the information about me?
Well,
I made it up. We do it.
I was going to say, it's not real.
No, sometimes we make stuff up and it's accurate. Sometimes it is so wrong.
We have a guess and yeah, we're like, hopefully this one's right.
Yeah,
we've been
interviewing
way too many fucking people and we've just got it all wrong.
You've been doing some digging.
Yeah, we've been doing...
We did, there was a country music festival because we have a radio show as well and we broadcast from that on the weekend. And I was interviewing this artist and I had just Googled quickly. I was like, I just want to get some more stuff on them. Because we have a team that like put sheets together.
Mm.
And
this is why you should
trust your team. I was like, I just want to get some more information. I Googled the name, but it was for someone else. It wasn't for the person we're interviewing. So I've Googled like some famous Olympic swimmer. Who had the same name as a country music artist. And I started asking them about like their like this thing. And she's like, oh, you've Googled the wrong person. This is live, like mid-interview.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, oh no. So,
yeah. That's awful.
Trust the team.
Yeah.
Trust the team.
Always trust the team. This is the problem because, you know, if we go off course here, that's when we get in trouble. Yeah, that's a.
But you did. I do remember. I don't know if I'd seen it or because I know you'd mentioned other interviews and stuff. But you were doing fitness stuff early on, and then you just like deleted it and went, "Nah, going this way now."
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was the best way for me to put myself out there, and I was working out, but it wasn't really like part of my personality or whatever. I just happened to work out, and so I thought if I start filming this, I might get some views, might get some followers, and it did work, but. The whole time I just wanted to make a whole different kind of content, but you're sort of stuck in that fitness niche when you start doing fitness content.
Yeah.
So I made a separate account under Italian Batch and started posting like comedy skits and stuff like that. And I promised myself that as soon as that account overtook the fitness account, I would just get rid of the fitness account because I didn't enjoy it. It was just, it was more of a chore, if anything.
Yeah.
So yeah, luckily that happened and he's dead now.
Yeah.
He's dead.
Well, I mean, and thank you for doing this podcast with your shirt off the whole time just to make us.
Yeah.
You
know,
we were supposed to get this podcast a few times. Yeah. And I remember one of them, I just messaged him and I was like, Isaac, you fucking do this interview with us. You put a shirt on, mate. Because
we haven't, like, we're 5 minutes in this interview. I haven't seen his face yet. It's just on his ad.
Like, and nipples. I'm oiled up as well.
Yeah. His nipples are talking to us. Like, I'm just like,
they're like his eyes. His belly button's his mouth.
Oh, I've been staring into his eyes. I thought we'd been having a thing. No, I've just been looking at his pecs.
When you did the fitness stuff, was there any humor in that? Like, were you trying to get a little bit of funny stuff into it, or was it more serious?
I did throw in the odd video where I put in more of my personality, but it just flopped. Like, people did not care. They were only there to watch me lift the weights, and that was it. So I quickly stopped doing that, and I just kept it to fitness stuff pretty much.
How was the, you know, transition moving into that more comedy sphere? And, you know, obviously people have been following you for the fitness and all that kind of stuff, probably just a lot of people just there to check you out. And then all of a sudden you've moved and changed gears completely. Not even changed gears. You got a new car. How was the crossover?
No, from like a car to a boat. Yeah. Living in the same
area.
You're
flying a fucking plane. So how did you know, your followers transition over? Did you lose a few? Were people going, yo, like, where's the sexy model, like the sexy shirt off stuff?
Well, did people even realize because you had two different accounts, or was there no crossover?
Yeah, so I had two different accounts, so there wasn't really any crossover because on the Isaac Smith Fit account, it was, my whole audience was like 60% Indian.
Okay.
They were just, that was my only demographic. And so when I started the comedy stuff, it was just a completely different demographic. It was like the UK, Australia, America. And so it was a whole new audience. And they didn't know that I did the fitness stuff beforehand. Only some people now will come across my fitness account and they realize I used to do that. But it's not really like something everyone knows because there wasn't really much of a crossover in the beginning.
Hang on, why were so many people like from India following you? Why? I don't understand. Did you ever look into why that was?
I don't know why it was. I had one video go viral and it had like 7 million views and it was all from India, basically.
Okay.
And ever since then, it just like, I think the account grew from there and it became like an Indian fitness account, basically. That's what I was marketed as.
Okay.
And then the DMs I got from these guys were crazy. They would say stuff like, oh, I dream of one day, bro, I'll find you and we'll arm wrestle and then you'll lift me above your head and we'll dance. And I mean, those guys were crazy. But then I think TikTok got banned in India. So half that just wiped out half my following pretty much.
That's so strange.
Let's go like young Isaac. Were you like, what's your earliest memory? Do you have an earliest memory of making people laugh or performing for people? Like, what is that for you?
I mean, I always loved attention, even now. I mean, that's why I do this, really. It's just for the attention. And so I would always be putting on a bit of a show. But I always made videos as well, like on YouTube. And when Vine came out, I made videos on Vine because I just thought I could put some humor out there. And that was my whole thing, pretty much, just trying to make people laugh. Probably getting recognition from people is what I was really trying to get.
Yeah.
So I think that's where it all stemmed from.
So it was always like humor based. Like, you know, we always wanted to be the center of attention, Jimmy and I, and a lot of people do. But was yours always like, I not only want to be the center of attention, but I want to make people laugh? Or was it just, you just want people to look at you? Like, what was the,
it was to make people laugh. Like, even now, the best feeling you can get is when you make someone laugh, I think.
Yeah.
And so that was always what I was after, basically. So anything I did, I was always trying to make it funny, trying to make people laugh, even if it was like at my own expense, just so I could get a laugh out of someone, pretty much.
Did you know, I mean, obviously at a young age, you know, you're kind of just finding your feet with so many different things, but did you know what you could do to make people laugh? Or was it kind of just, you're just doing like silly voices or silly faces or falling over? Or did you actually, you know, think about doing something to make somebody laugh?
It was a mixture. There was a lot of just trial and error, like trying, like you say, like funny voices and stuff like that. I started doing videos where I'd recreate. I don't know if you've ever seen I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Yeah.
But I would just recreate that with a friend and we'd just put on the voices of the people. We were like 7 years old. No one was watching this stuff. But to us, it was hilarious. If you watched it now, you'd be like, what the hell is this?
Were you being the contestants or were you being Ant and Dec?
Both. We were literally every single person on the show. We just made a video like that.
A two-man show.
So... Yeah, exactly. So I didn't really know what I was doing. Oh, I didn't have a plan on like how to make people laugh. I tried everything pretty much.
What about at school? Like, were you funny? Like, were you the class clown? Like, were you trying to study? Were you athletic? Like, what were you like at school?
I was kind of, I'd say a bit of it. Like, I had a good balance between doing work and also having a laugh. But yeah. my main thing was sort of class clown, trying to make people laugh. Wasn't really tied down. I had like a good friendship group, but I was friends with a lot of people. I kept friendly with people, didn't have any like enemies or anything like that. As I say, just trying to make everyone laugh pretty much.
Were you playing? You were trying to find the Indian kids at school. Yeah, I'll need you later. Where are you? Yeah. Want to play some cricket? Yeah,
keep an eye on me.
His whole group is just an Indian following all at school.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know why they love me. I can't figure it out. Anyway, I went to school in Mumbai.
Mum, Dad, I want to go to Mumbai. Why? Don't worry about it. It'll make sense
don't
later.
Worry.
Did you play sport or anything, Isaac? Like, were you into sport or anything like that? Or, you know, more
hitting
studious
the gym.
Or hitting the... No, this is... Or I think this is all pre-gym. This is skinny Isaac, yeah?
Yeah, this was skinny Isaac. I played football and rugby. I did play sport, like... Anything pretty much. Anything that was going on, I'd try and play it.
Yep.
But football mainly. I played football mainly, yeah.
And what about, you know, on the field and stuff, you know, when things got a bit antsy between people, would you always diffuse situations using comedy or were you the person who was kind of, you know, riling other people up?
To be honest, I avoid conflict at all costs. So I would just sort of walk away and pretend I didn't see anything and just sort of brush it off. It happened recently, actually. I was playing... Sunday league,
yeah.
And one of my friends, he got crunched, and he went after the guy, and their whole team came in. There was a whole team brawl, and I sort of just walked off to the sidelines, just like eyeing it up from a distance, thinking there is no way I'm getting involved with that. But I did warn my friends because Sunday league is known for these scraps,
yeah.
And I said, just saying, if you start a fight, you just no, you've not. I've not got your back. I'm watching off. So they know that's how I'm going to deal with it.
At least you're honest from the outset. Just saying, so you know,
exactly.
I protect you.
There are fights, but yeah, exactly. I am out. Yeah. I have not got your back.
See this? This yeah. makes my money, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No one's coming near
I can't
this.
Afford to get in a fight.
So people just watching is like, is that 11v10 in a fight? You're just like off in the distance. Like,
where's the other guy? You're just watching. I'm just filming it.
He's got this, yeah. You know, he's got this army of Indian bodyguards that'll just protect him anyway.
Yeah.
So what about? So
they won't let me get hurt.
Hey, it's Audio Bones here, and if you want to win yourself a prize this week, the code word this week is the star emoji. So head to the Jimmy and Ape Instagram page, find this week's Born Funny video, and comment that emoji under it.
Are you, what, like at school, are you doing drama? Are you doing anything like that? Or are you more like, where's the comedy outlet?
To be honest, I didn't really do any creative stuff at school. I did a lot of science at school. So everything comedy related was always a hobby for me and I would do it outside of the school. So I would, I'd go to school, do all that. I'd have fun with my mates, but I really liked science and stuff like that. Get home. And I'd film videos pretty much for YouTube, Vine, and then TikTok, obviously now. And that's really where the comedy was for me. I would just me and a camera pretty much.
Would your friends say you were funny though? Like, were you always making your mates laugh?
Yeah, I think my friends would say I'm funny, yeah.
Well, didn't we ask them? Yeah.
And here they are. Bring them in.
And don't ask them. Don't ask them. Just 10 Indian men come into your studio.
They're already here. Hey, Isaac, you brought up just then. So you're at school, you're into the sciences and all that kind of stuff. Now, obviously, you know, those subjects are very formulaic in the way that they, you know, the way that you study them and the way that you approach science. Do you, you know, approach comedy in a similar way? Like, do you look at comedy in a formulaic way? Like, in terms of, you know, you want to know how it works and break it down? Or is it the complete opposite with your comedy and you're kind of just trying things and seeing what stick?
I mean, I do with videos. Like, if I'm making a TikTok, I look at the analytics and I figure out why a video does well.
Okay.
And what I did in that video to make that do well. And I'll try and recreate that. But in general life, when I'm just trying to be funny with my friends and stuff, I just try and let it happen.
You know? I don't overthink it too much.
It just sort of just flows sometimes, you know, I'm being funny anyway.
Does it work in a creative sense? You know, when you say you're looking at the analytics and stuff to create a video, like, is there a science behind it? Like, have you looked at a video and gone, this is why this works, and then replicated at least some parts of it and it has worked again, or it doesn't work like that? It's just based on what people are enjoying at the time.
There's definitely a mix between getting the formula right and luck. With TikTok, for instance, the video has to be short because people don't have an attention span. So you've got to be funny within the first 3 seconds for someone to stay on a video. And then you can't keep them there long enough, really, past like 15 seconds. They get bored and they swiped off, unless you're funny literally every 3 seconds. So you sort of have to create... I don't try and script all my videos, but I try and set out a few comedic things that I can do that will happen every 3 seconds to keep someone's attention in the video. And you need to throw in things that people are going to comment about. So if you do something outrageous, so there's a good mix between like dry humor or subtle humor and something obvious on screen that someone might comment about. So you've just got to mix all that stuff with a video. And yeah, pretty much it does work.
When did you figure that out? Was that early? Was it later on in the piece that you were looking at it? Like, when did you start looking at that stuff and going, all right, this is my formula here?
In the beginning, I just tried skits and they were working. In the beginning, it was great. It was getting a lot of views and the growth was quick. But inevitably, you sort of plateau and you hit a point where you're not getting many more views. You're sort of stuck at where you're at. And this was about, I think, a year ago. I saw it at a different angle and I thought, okay, I need to actually look at what videos are doing well and why they're doing well. And that's when I changed my approach. So before, I would just film any idea and I would just chuck loads of comedy into the video and hope it would do well. But a year ago, I started thinking, okay, well, people only like videos if they're short. And if you chuck in a joke every 3 seconds and it has to be relatable, otherwise people just don't care about it. And it needs to be realistic as well. Like, slapstick comedy doesn't really work. Not with the UK, the Australian audience. It just doesn't really work.
Yeah.
So it has to be realistic. If you throw in something that is like a relatable situation, but you throw in something that just is unlikely to happen, people don't find it funny. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
What kind of things are you thinking about when you're talking relatability? Like, is it stuff that happens to you, or are you observing, you know, things that are happening to other people and inputting that within your videos?
Both, actually. So, and I do think that's the most important thing with like a comedy TikTok. If you can make it relatable, so like a situation that happens to everyone. I'm trying to think of an example, but it's hard to think of something off the top of your head.
Of course, yeah.
Go to TikTok if
you want an example. Right?
Go to my TikTok. Even little things like men walking through the lingerie section in a store, and you're sort of like trying to make yourself seem like you're not a pervert. So you're going out of your way to be just like looking everywhere but the bras, sort of thing. Like, that's a relatable thing that happens to me. So I thought, okay, that could be a video. But then you can flip it and something relatable happening to someone else or someone saying something to you. It's the same thing. As long as people can see a situation on their screen and be like, oh, that's happened to me, or that's happened to me and my sister, and then they tag their sister, and it's like I think that.
So when you say really you and your sister, you're not in the lingerie store anymore, are you?
Not in the lingerie. We're not talking lingerie anymore.
Yeah. So I was like, let's dive into this.
Yeah, I was like, that's really happening here.
Lingerie for your sister.
Come on, sis. Yeah. Let's go have a look.
So Christmas is coming up.
Christmas gift.
Yeah. Isaac, what about, more high school? So, like, what are you thinking, like, a comedy path? Like, what are your parents pushing you into do? Like, what career things are you thinking at that point in your life?
So in high school, I really just chose the subjects that my friends were doing. So I Good was choice. Doing like economics and business and stuff like that. And in my head, I was going to get a degree apprenticeship and do some sort of like business management.
Yeah.
And then after school ended, I got a job at M&S, which was just a supermarket, and I was working there for a year trying to buy time. And that's when I started Isaac Smith Fit, and I started posting that stuff. Yep. And yeah, in the back of my mind, that big idea was I was going to be like something to do with business. Mm-hmm. And I was just going to figure it out. But I really just wanted to buy time so I could make the content and hopefully make a job out of that.
Yeah.
So pre the Isaac Smith fitness account, there was really no creative outlet. There was nothing creative that you were doing, but there was it still bubbling away inside you, like there was something that you needed to do in that space.
Exactly. Yeah. So as a kid, I would post like the odd video on a random platform, but I had nothing consistent.
Yeah.
And so until Isaac Smith Fit, there was nothing that I was really working towards, like a creative outlet like that. So it was bubbling away, and it was always in the back of my mind, like I wanted to be a YouTuber, or I wanted to be a TikTok wasn't a thing then. So the whole thing was I wanted to be a YouTuber, but I didn't want to start posting during school because I didn't want other people to start talking about it. So I thought about the whole anonymous route, but I thought, no, maybe not, in case someone finds it. So I really just waited until school ended to start posting stuff. And then I bought time for that 1 year working at M&S, and I was posting on Isaac Smith Fit. And then I thought, I can't do this as a job yet, so I've got to find something else. And so then I went to uni for 3 years, and I got a degree in astronomy. And then I was thinking, okay.
Wild.
Why did you pick astronomy?
I don't know. I get obsessed with things for a short period of time, and that becomes my personality for that moment. And at the point where I was picking a degree, I was like, I was obsessed with space. So I thought, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And the idea was that I was going to become a physicist at the end of the 3 years, but the whole time I would be posting content and hope that that worked out. And luckily it did, because I only graduated a few months ago.
Yeah.
I managed to grow my socials to a point where that's my job now.
Right. Okay. So, I mean,
congrats on the degree.
Yeah. No, well done. So, the plan was, if the social media didn't kick off, you were going to live in like one of those weird telescope towers and just look at stars.
That's what I was going to do.
And then you do the fuck off video and everything changes. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that ironic how the fuck off video took me one step away from being like
fucking
an astronomer or a physicist?
Saturn.
It's the age old. We all have it, don't we? It's Sophie's choice. Astronomer, fuck off.
It's a classic. It's a classic, honestly.
Wow.
Wait, just before the fuck off video, did any of the, like when you were posting on Vine or YouTube, did any of those clips go viral? Did any of them work? Nothing.
No, absolutely nothing. I posted loads.
What kind of gear were you trying to do?
Anything you remember?
Really random stuff. I did like I said about the I'm a Celeb stuff. I posted like random things like that with a friend. Then we created this account called the Pink Bros because we were wearing a pink t-shirt that day and we just danced basically. So I was thinking, okay, now I'm going to be a dancer and post that online. We did like scooter montages, and then I made some video like about carving a pumpkin, some video about my pregnant fish. I really made loads of random videos in the hopes that one of them would go viral. And at the time, I really thought they would, but none of them, like I'm talking 20 views max on every single video I ever put out until Isaac Smith Fit came along.
So where are these videos now? Are they just out there in the ether? Have you tried to remove them, or are they still around?
They're out there. I tried to remove, there's this specific account. It's called JellyVids888. And I filmed my pregnant fish. And I was just asking YouTube if this fish was pregnant. And then my next video was me cutting a pineapple, but pretending it was a war between me and the pineapple. And then I didn't post again on that account because I got barely any views. And I tried to log back into that account to delete those videos, but I'm logged out. So they're just out there for good.
So there's two videos on there. There's pregnant fish and pineapple war.
Yep, exactly. So at least
those?
I was consistent.
Yeah, Jared, we need it.
One niche.
We're going to need those videos, please.
We're going to use the audio and recreate
other accounts.
It. Nathan, you can play the pregnant fish.
I'll play Isaac. Yeah, you can be Isaac.
That's my worst work.
Oh, shit.
So what about the fuck you video? How did that... Was there something behind the scenes that prompted you to film that? Were you doing something with your mates or?
No, I saw another guy do it on TikTok. He used the sound and I thought, okay, so I'm gonna start doing that. Yeah. So I essentially kind of robbed the guy pretty much. Yeah. And then I rinsed and milked that idea with loads of different scenarios that I could think of that would relatable. Yeah. So I thought, okay, that's what's going to get engagement. After the fuck off videos, I must have made almost 100 of those.
Yeah.
I decided to do... just random trends because I thought, okay, that's what's going to get me the views now, and I can't be the fuck off guy forever. So that, I thought that's got to stop.
It's a really good point. Like, how do you, you know, when do you choose to, you know, to move on, even though these are still getting views? And is there a fear that you're going to, you know, be put inside a box here, being like, oh, he's just the fuck off guy? Like, when do yeah. you make the move to start doing other content, even though you're not sure if it's going to work?
Well, yeah, that was the thing. I was still getting at least 500,000 views on these fuck off videos, but I was thinking, I am going to get stuck. And I was at like 80,000 followers, and I was thinking, okay, I'm going to get stuck in the box of the fuck off guy. And if I make anything else, people aren't going to like it.
Yep.
So I might as well cut this off now. Because best case scenario, I keep doing the fuck off videos. I blow up and I get a big following, but that's all I could do from then on out.
Yep.
If I do anything else, no one's going to like it. So I started posting other like trend sort of videos, and they just got no views. But I thought, this is the way that I've got to go to evolve the account. Otherwise, I am going to get stuck in that box. And so about 80,000 followers, I just started posting random trends. I stopped the fuck off videos, even though they were doing really well with views. And really, I never found my foot with the trending stuff until like 6 months, a year down the line, when I started doing skits. And that's when things really changed.
Were you nervous, you know, stepping away from something that you know was working and had built such a, you know, such a loyal following? Yeah, astronomy. Yeah, when you stop looking at stars. And have you thought about going back to the telescope, really? Because I just think
missed opportunity.
Yeah. Like, moving away from the fuck off stuff, was there a bit of you, like, was that hard to do and were you nervous about it?
Yeah, I was really worried about like falling off, even though I was never really on. In my head, I was thinking, okay, I'm blowing up right now. I'm hot shit. Yeah. I've got to stay doing this fuck off shit. And if I stop doing it, then I'm just going to die and become a nobody. Yeah, so yeah, I was yeah. like, okay.
Oh, like one of those stars when they eventually, you know.
Yeah.
A black hole.
Like a supernova.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And yeah. I thought I was going supernova. So I thought, okay, this is bad, especially when the views weren't coming in anymore. I was like, damn. And I even went back to a couple fuck off videos, but they didn't work anymore
because
people had forgotten about the trend. So I was like, shit, I'm fucked. What have I done? So I was just posting loads of random shit, nothing really paying off. And then when the skits, I did this skit about a PE teacher, because PE teachers in England are notorious for being creepy. You'll always have a male PE teacher who's a bit of a perf, to be honest.
Yeah.
And so I did a skit about that, and that got like 2 million views straight off the bat. And before that, I was getting like 50,000 views if I was lucky. And I thought, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do now. And I rinsed that idea for a while, introduced some other characters, and yeah, that's what I did.
Was it a sense of relief when, you know, eventually you found this new, you know, way to create content and finally people have been responding to it? Like, was there any point where you're like, I'm done here? Or did you just... were you so determined to keep pushing through? And then that's obviously what you did.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't want to give up, because it genuinely was my dream since a kid, just to make videos and make it big on social media or YouTube, whatever. So I was never going to give up. In my mind, I was thinking, even if I have to get a job after uni, I'm still going to post TikToks and hope that it takes off. So I was posting. And then when I did that skit and it got... I remember the night that I posted, it was on my sister's birthday, and I uploaded it and I was thinking, okay, this is different. Let's hope it does well. And in the first like hour, it had 100,000 views, which was crazy for me. And I was like, oh my God, I figured it out. And it was just such a sense of relief, because I was thinking, I was in such a, like, it was such a flat line at that point. There was no growth or anything. So when that finally worked, I was like, oh my God. And I couldn't wait to film the next one. And then I was just filming.
So this was on your sister's birthday. Was that before or after she opened the lingerie?
After she opened the lingerie.
She knew, because she was like, I was shopping with you, Isaac.
She goes, hey, I love
yeah,
these.
She saw it.
You're like looking up at the roof. Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah.
love that. What about, okay, so... I'd love to know like what family and friends are saying to you, like, you know, during the working at the grocery store for a year, studying astronomy, are they pushing you down this, you know, social media content, YouTube angle? Are they being like, Isaac, grow the fuck up, get a real job? Like, what are you getting told in that period of time?
To be honest, no one really told me anything, because I was quite not secretive about it. I mean, it was obvious that I was doing it. I posted online, but yeah, I kept it separate. It was more like just a project I was doing by myself. my parents are really supportive. They never said anything like stop doing that or get a real job, or because I was still working hard at the time. I'd wake up, start filming, I'd film a bunch of stuff, and then I'd go to work at 2, I'd get home at 10 p.m., and then I'd film more stuff and do my editing and stuff, go to bed late, wake up early the next day. So I was still working hard and obviously doing uni on the side, which I'd have to do most mornings or past 10 p.m. So I was working hard at the time, really trying to grow it. They really just let me crack on with it. They weren't necessarily pushing me down the social media path. They were just sort of letting me do my thing.
Do they get it? Do they understand now like how it's your life?
Yeah, I think they do. There's still certain aspects they don't understand, but I think it's hard to understand unless you're doing it yourself.
Do they watch? So, do they comment? Does your mum give you notes on it?
Yeah, they do. I mean, my mum watches every YouTube video, every TikTok I post. Dad watches all my TikToks. And they've always been supportive. All my friends, family, girlfriend, they've always been supportive from the beginning. Everything I post, they would always just... I mean, sometimes I'd even get like constructive criticism, which was great. I was like, okay, brilliant. Thanks, but I don't take criticism very well.
Was it great though, getting constructive criticism from your family?
No, I was like, shut up. Yeah, it's like, shut up. I know what I'm doing.
That was the first fuck off video. Fuck off.
Partner Olivia, like,
take a hit.
does she film like a lot of your stuff, like a lot of your videos?
Yeah, all my videos are pretty much filmed by one of my sisters or my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Luckily, I've got three sisters. So, you know, when one is busy,
get another one in.
Yeah, get them lined up.
Are they good? Like, you know, like Nathan and I film stuff, and sometimes you have someone filming you. And if they're just behind the camera, just like fucking disengaged, like you're like start questioning, you're like, fuck, is this shit? Are they good? Like, good? Like, are they laughing as they're filming you?
They are. Especially my sisters. My girlfriend, sometimes she's a bit more blunt to me. So she'll say, oh, I don't like that. I think you should redo that. But ultimately, and she gets a bit annoyed with me sometimes because I'll be like, nope, I am definitely doing that because I'm set on like my idea pretty much.
Yeah,
but, no, my sisters are great. They know they're getting a fresh pair of lingerie afterwards, so they work hard.
Is anyone in
it's
your...
It's less weird when he walks in with three.
No, yeah, of course.
I'm taking my sisters out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Your girlfriend's like, what about me? You're like, you didn't film.
nope.
You questioned that last one.
Has anyone in your family, Isaac, ever been in like the entertainment space at all? Like, has there been anyone that's kind of been close to that, or were you the first one to kind of enter that realm?
No, never. No one in my family. I mean, my oldest sister, she's a real character. She's full of energy, really funny. She's always been like the funniest in the family. I'm not even the funniest in the family. She takes that role. But in terms of like being on screen and putting themselves out there, no one had done that before. And so, yeah, I was really the first to do something creative like that.
What about, you know, success for you? Because, you know, like Nathan, I watch your videos, you've got a lot of followers, you've got a lot of views. Like, how do you measure that? Like, do you look at consistency? Is it increase in followers? Like, what is it you're looking for that goes, all right, this has been a good week, good month?
I mean, I'd be lying if I said I didn't look at like the follower number and the views number. I always have like a benchmark of how many videos I want to get out and how many views I want to get from those videos and stuff and how many followers I want to gain a week. But really for me, it's like the response you get from the audience, like comments, or if someone makes like a separate TikTok just about you, or if you see yourself starting to pop up in other people's videos, like they might mention you and say you're funny and stuff like that. When I start getting that and you see other people talking about you and videos being made, that's a real sign of a good week for me.
Isaac, can you explain? Because I know a lot of people...
Radio show, podcast in Australia, interviews you. Big fucking deal. You know what I mean? That's...
Why, what interview did you do? Isaac, we haven't asked many... You know, we've talked to so many different people in different realms of comedy, a lot of creators, both on, you know, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram and stuff. And I haven't really asked anyone this question yet, but I think it's important to ask just so it can be explained by somebody who does it. How does the commercial side of being a creator work? Like, is it brands reaching out to you? Are you reaching out to brands? Like, how does that whole space work, and how does it become, you know, something that generates revenue for someone like yourself?
It's a bit of both. Like, in the beginning, I did a lot of outreach myself because I saw other people doing brand deals and I was like, I want a slice of that.
Yep.
And so I'd be reaching out to companies, obviously getting no response. And then I started getting companies coming to me and they would email me and they'd say, oh, you can do this for a free product. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do that then.
Yeah.
But at this point, I had like 200K followers. And even then, accepting a product for a video is crazy. I should never have done that.
Yeah.
Or they'd offer like 100 quid and I was like, yeah, that's great, I'm taking that.
Yeah,
but now I know that was stupid.
We've all been there, mate. We've all been there.
Oh, yeah, something for the brands, first time.
Yeah
exactly. But I mean, brands really do take advantage of the like up-and-coming creators who are brand new to the space and they don't know how much they should be charging or anything like that. But now, fortunately, I got management. I've been with management for over a year now.
Great.
And the emails come through, so a brand will see my page, or there will be like a marketing agency that will see it and they're working with a brand and they'll suggest you for a certain campaign. You'll get an email come through saying, can you do this? They'll say, we want a TikTok or we want this. My manager emails back saying how much it costs and whatnot. But also the benefit of being with management is the fact that they have contacts already. So a brand could come directly to them and say, have you got anyone for this? And they'll put me up or they'll put someone else up. And so that's how that side works. Luckily now I don't have to be sending out emails and stuff and begging for free stuff. But
yeah,
it's all, those conversations just happen aside from me. But that's really how it works. The brands will just send an email straight away and say, can we do this with him?
Was that hard to make that transition, you know, from, you know, just doing something for a free hat or a golf club or something like that? And then being like, hang on a minute, I am not making any money here, but I have, you know, 90 pairs of Birkenstocks. Like, was it hard to, you know, move that to the next level? And like, did the manager find you, or did you have to openly go and seek a manager yourself?
Well, the thing is, for ages I was posting stuff for free, so money wasn't even a thing I was thinking about. I didn't know I could make like proper money or make it even a job. TikTok anyway. I knew YouTube, you get paid off revenue and stuff like that. And that's, you know, that was a big reason why I was like, oh, I need to be a YouTuber. I could get serious fucking money. But TikTok, I didn't really know anything about the brand side of things. I didn't know how much they paid you or anything. So for ages, yeah, as I said, I was getting free products or I was getting £100 for a deal or whatever. And then I got a DM from my current management basically saying, oh, we'd like to sign you. And I sort of just had the conversation. And I was already set on getting management. So I pretty much just said, yeah, all right, let's do it. Signed the contract. And from there on out, they were just dealing with all the brand side of things. And I really realized how much I should have been charging the whole time. And I was fucking stupid.
Well, you make a really good point. You know, what would you say to, you know, up and coming creators and stuff who are in that, you know, rapid growth stage, just to make sure that they're not getting taken advantage of? You know, we've all been there. I mean, you said it yourself, you had no idea, and you let, you know, a lot of these big time brands take advantage of you for things that you put a lot of work into and you could have been making revenue for. Like, what do you say to those people to make sure that doesn't happen to them?
I think the best thing to do, and the best thing that I ended up doing, is made connections in the industry, like other people who were bigger than me or same level. And I just said like, oh, how much are you charging for this? Because at the time I couldn't get management didn't want me because I wasn't like big enough, which is obviously understandable. And so I would reach out to people. I mean, it's hard to get a response from some people because their DMs are probably full, but if any up-and-coming TikTokers or anything want to talk about this thing, want to know if they're getting mugged off, they can send me a DM and I'll respond and I'll let you know how much you should be charging for certain things.
It'd be great if Isaac was just like, nah, fuck him. Like, I got fucked, you're getting fucked.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's how 100, you
100 pound, that's a good deal.
Yeah, you've got to learn today.
Take a free hat.
If I went through it, you're going through it.
But what about Isaac's like, you want advice? I'll fucking charge you. Yeah.
Yeah, it costs fucking money.
Yeah, go on, DM me. But what about the balance between, Nathan, I've seen a lot of creators, especially, you know, they get to a point, like, I've got a lot of followers now, and then they're just doing branded content. Like, that's all you're really then seeing. Like, how do you find that balance between, like, all right, I got to put, you know, this is my job. I'm allowed to get paid for it, but I also need to put content out here that isn't that, so my audience still can consume it.
Yeah, that's a big thing. I see a lot of creators now where they only post ads, and it's clear that's all they use their TikTok for now. It's very easy to balance it, like have a good balance of like every 5, 6, 7 videos, you've got an ad, and your audience won't care, especially if you have an agreement with the brand to make the video, the brand deal very similar to your current content. I've worked with some great brands who basically just let me do what I want, and they're the best because you know your audience are going to like it. And ultimately, they're going to get more views from it, and it helps them more, I think, anyway. A lot of creators, I think the problem is they just don't post enough. If they posted enough videos, then the brand deals would just get washed out anyway.
Yeah.
But a lot of people now, they would post like once a week, which is really nothing.
Yeah.
And of course, most of the time it's going to be a brand deal because they come in quite often. So
how do you go with, you know, collaboration with other creators or people outside, you know, the creative realm as well? Is that something
who do you
that
hate?
You're interested in doing?
Who's a cunt?
Who's a cunt?
you go with, you know, collaborative work, working with other creators or people outside of, have you done that before and do you enjoy doing that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, when I first got a DM from a guy who did a similar thing to me, and he had like way over double my followers, and he was like, do you want to meet up and make some videos? I was having a bit of like a starstruck moment, you know, because you watch these guys, and you're like, oh, I want to be like them. I want as many followers as they have. And then when they reach out and they say, oh, do you want to collab on this? It's a really cool feeling. You think, oh, bloody hell, I made it. And you go and you make content. I mean, you quickly make friends. It's daunting to begin with because it feels like it's very clicky. Like a lot of influencers already know each other. They go to all these events. And so you've sort of just got to worm your way in there. And once you start making a couple friends, it quickly develops. And I think that's the best thing, really, being connected in the industry, because you do get put forward for a lot more opportunities. Like your friends, if they're doing a brand deal, they might say, oh, you should get him on this. Or if they're going to an event, they'll say, yeah, bring him. It really does help your career. Yeah.
Is it weird how it works like that? You know, it's like just another creator is reaching out to you, or like does other managements reach out to you, or is it like the person themselves? Because there's no like I'm assuming you kind of go to their house to film and that kind of stuff. It's not like you're heading into a big production studio or anything. Like, is that process intimidating?
I mean, yeah, it's kind of awkward. The person themselves will reach out.
It's like a Tinder date, yeah.
It's fucking weird.
If we invite people in, like we have a studio, like people can sit the fuck down. You're like, come to my house.
Yeah, I've got produced and stuff. It's kind of like,
I film in the basement.
Yeah, it's like a date, but not, you know. You know, when you go and meet someone like on a Tinder date or a Hinge date or something like that, it's like, you know, we'll have a bit of small talk and then we'll start fucking. You know what I mean? But like, it's kind of the same thing. Like, when do we, like, are we filming now? Like, when are we, you know?
Yeah, it really is fucking awkward because they'll say, like, where are we going to do this? You end up meeting usually at a park because you want good lighting and open space.
Weird.
And it sounds like you're fucking dogging or something, but... because you can't have them at your house. Like, you've got family at the house, you can't really film.
Yeah.
So you meet up at a park. You speak
Mom
for
and
a
dad
like...
home. Shh.
Exactly. Shut up. And then you're at this park. You're speaking for like...
There's police driving past the park. Is it a drug deal or are there more TikTokers getting together?
Yeah.
Is that creators or drugs?
It's got to be the weirdest meetup ever.
Yeah, so you're meeting at a park. So you're headed to what? And then you just go,
I mean,
hey.
you meet up and then it's fucking awkward. One has a tripod out already and you're thinking, oh, fucking hell, he's ready to go. And then you talk a little bit, but there's only so much you can say in 10 minutes. You're like, oh, I've really got to fucking get on with this because I've got a train to catch. So then you're straight into filming videos, but it's awkward because you don't even know the person. So the videos are pretty shit to begin with. And the first collab is always shit. It's until, you know, you really know the person, then you start getting good videos out of it. So you really just meet up at a park to make shit videos. And it's really awkward, pretty
much. That's so strange. So you don't talk before, like you don't go grab a coffee to see if you're vibing with this person. You're just like, I suppose, you know, if this person's so, you know, so big and, you know, got heaps of followers, you're like, you don't really want to, like, you just want to make a video with them because you know that, you know, their following is hopefully going to help yours. So you don't do like a first date you know.
But imagine if like,
it's so weird.
We had James Bay on the radio show last night. Imagine if we were like, hey, before the radio show, if you want to go downstairs, get a coffee.
Yeah, just want to make sure I vibe with this guy. it's so strange.
Then we're like, James Bay, didn't like him. Fuck off. Yeah, You're not the show.
Us, no interview.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
You're not made it.
It's so strange.
Yeah, it is weird.
I was like, have you been to Australia before? And if you haven't, love to have you, Danny, because I know, look at our mates.
Coffee first.
But like, our mates always ask, like, you know, and girlfriends are like, yeah, oh, who's on board funding me? Said Italian Batch. And they're like, oh, fuck, I love that guy. Like, have you been here?
They're all Indian, all our friends, by the way.
They're all Indian. Yeah, I hope so. That makes sense. No, I've never been, but I don't know if I'm going to go next year or this summer, but I'm going to go for a few months because I want to test the waters. I kind of want to live there, but I've never been.
Right.
It just looks like a good life. So I'm going to come over, test the waters. But yeah, I've got a surprisingly big following in Australia. Like, I think my biggest city is Brisbane and then Melbourne and then Sydney over the UK, America, everything. So
what is the next plan, Isaac? What do you want to do? And so, you know, starting to do podcasting and stuff as well. And like, where do you want to grow this to? Is it live shows? Is it, you know, like proper, you know, filming and TV and all that kind of stuff? Is it comedy? Like, where do you want to take this?
Yeah, I mean, I really just want to do everything, which is kind of bad because I try and do everything all at once. So I'm getting spread too thin. But I think I'm going to focus on YouTube, TikTok, obviously keep those things going. I've started a podcast with my friend Arthur, see where that goes. But at the same time, I'm writing a show, which hopefully will be funny and it will go out on TV because I do want to do some acting, also obviously writing and star in my own show. So that's a big goal of mine, get something out on TV, do something a bit more mainstream.
I love this as a tagline for you. Isaac Smith, from looking at the stars to being one.
That's good. That is good.
Yep.
You can't fucking have it, mate. Pay.
It's not for free.
I'm fucking taking it.
Not for free. Isaac, that is not for free.
Isaac brings a show down under, and it's like, that's the tagline. Me and Nathan are outside, like on the gates, like, let us in.
You'll be hearing from my fucking stick. Isaac Smith.
Oh, mate, look, we absolutely love having you on the podcast. You're welcome anytime, or the radio show. A few things we need from you before we go. I guess the first one is, you know, we ask at the start, do you think you were born funny? We sort of had that chat through your journey, through your life up until now. Has your answer changed, or you still think that you were?
Some people change, some people keep it the same. Do you think you were born funny, or do you think you picked up a little bit later on?
I think I was born funny, but not as funny as I have become. I don't know.
I think I got
funnier, but I'd hope so, seeing as I came out the womb like a child.
You came out like that, smoking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I came out like this, smoking a cigarette.
Slapping the ass.
Anyone got a lighter?
Anyone got a... Give me a fucking camera. I'm a star, baby.
I came out early as well, just clawed my way out.
No, I'd agree with that. I think it's something, you know, as you said, it's something you've always wanted to do, always been a part of. You always want to, you know, entertain and stuff. But I think, you know, much like anything, you've honed it and found a way to do it. Yes, it did, you know, take you to leave astronomy and have success and do the fitness stuff first. So, you know, it was always there, but it wasn't unlocked until a little bit later on.
Yeah, exactly. I hadn't figured out how to really put it out there.
Yeah, I think that's, I guess, the hard part of it. Like, you know, you mentioned your sister being really, really funny. Like, at the end of the day, like, if you want to go do it as a career, you're going to have to find out what works and then why. And then, you know, even you're talking about loving science back at school and then using those same sort of principles in your videos as to why does this work? How does it work? So I think, yeah, definitely born funny, but now you've turned a very successful career, which is probably going to plateau now and just fucking nosedive. So
yeah,
then I'll fucking fall off.
Yeah. It's all down from here, mate. You'll be working at bras and things in no time, and your sister will be stoked.
We got a friend that works at Victoria's Secret in Sydney. If you want a job, when you come over, so I don't know.
Oh, fucking brilliant! Yeah.
So wasn't that Italian batch guy? Yeah. Nah,
mums, sisters, guess what?
Nah.
Discount. Thank you so much, mate. We really, really appreciate it, Isaac. Now, the other thing we like to do as well is we get everybody to deliver a joke. Now, I don't know if you have one off the top of your head or anything like that. It can be any kind of joke. If you've got one, fire away, mate.
Okay, I've got it, but I'm going to have to read it.
That's so fun.
Actually, no, I don't have to read it. It's fucking short. I'm going to sound stupid if I say I have to read that one. Okay.
Okay. Okay, okay. What is it? What are you?
What do you get if you mix human DNA with a fish DNA?
You get if you mix human DNA and fish DNA. I know what.
What?
You get kicked out of the aquarium.
Is that how that fish got pregnant?
Yeah, that's how that fish got pregnant. That's full circle. Yeah,
that's why he's trying to delete the video. It's fucking a fish.
What are you doing at SeaWorld, Isaac? Get out of here.
He's not allowed in 100 metres of an aquarium.
Those manta rays do not want to wear lingerie. What are you doing?
Jeez, those dolphins look sexy. Look at that blowhole. Come here. Hey, hey.
Blowhole.
Oh, mate. Fuck, and one last one. This video we're uploading at the end of the year. We've asked everyone this question. Some people have answered it earnestly. Some people have taken their time. Some people have just launched straight in. The question is, why did the chicken cross the road?
Take your time. Think about it. You're a scientist.
I did.
You're a scientist. What was he doing?
Astrology.
What's he doing? I don't think there's any chickens in space.
Okay, we don't know that.
There could be chickens in space.
Was he trying to fuck the chicken? Trying to get away from Isaac.
He's in a beast.
I was running down the street trying to fuck the chicken.
Yep.
That's why.
I fucking knew it.
I fucking knew
it. You fucking big weirdo.
One of those early videos on Vine that didn't work.
No, it was one of his early collaborations. That
was... Met a chicken in a park.
KFC, you've just gone, well, there goes that brand deal. Yeah,
that's not fucking up, man.
We love you.
Mate, we love you, Isaac. Thank you so much. Welcome on the show anytime.
Thanks for having
Reach
me.
Out when you get to Oz, mate. And keep going we'll keep following, hey.
All right, sweet. Thanks, boys.
Listener.